Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
To them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, he was one of the 12, stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come to of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. With this kind of discouraging report, the reaction of the people was this. The second verse of the next chapter says, All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? But there was Joshua and there were Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were two of the spies of the 12. Joshua and Caleb told the people that they could take the land. And in verse 7 they said, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Then they persuaded, Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. When the people heard this kind of report from Joshua and Caleb, which was so different from the other 10, they almost stoned Joshua and Caleb to death. They would not listen and would not heed the encouraging words of those two noblemen of God. The actions and the attitudes of 10 of the spies and of the people of Israel as they heard the report of these 10 spies was that of disobedience. For God had told them he would give them that land. God had brought them to the very boundary of that land. The land had already been searched and had proven to be the very kind of land that God said it would be. It would be prosperous and it was theirs for the taking. And yet when these obstacles were presented before them, they were disobedient. In the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said that the Gentiles were once that way. They had the spirit of the children of disobedience. And he warned of those of such a spirit. He said, The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. And because the people of Israel would not follow God and follow his stalwart leaders, they were forced to wander in that wilderness for 40 long years before they were finally allowed to enter the land. But Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit about them. The 24th verse says concerning Caleb individually, But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and here was the spirit, and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. I want to talk to you tonight for a few moments about the obedient spirit. What does the obedient spirit entail? What does it involve? I would think that most of us here tonight would like to look upon ourselves, would we not, as being obedient people. That is, we are obedient to God. What is it to be obedient? One thing we need to understand, that to obey God, we must obey from the heart. In Romans chapter 6, 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul taught the necessity of obeying from the heart. Not just going through forms, not just doing rituals, not just doing right things, though that's a part of it. It must be from the heart. The heart of man, the attitude of a person, the mind of an individual is very much a contributing factor as to whether or not he really has an obedient spirit. This is somewhat like Jesus was talking about when he was talking about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. In truth means to worship him according to the truth, the word of God. In spirit means your disposition, your attitude, your frame of mind toward worshiping God. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, we are told to serve the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul told the brethren in Ephesus to do the will of God from the heart. We sometimes have the attitude that obedience is simply to do whatever you're told to do. That's part of it. But obedience to God involves much more than that, dear people. Let's study ourselves as we study this and to see whether or not we are truly a person of an obedient spirit. Because obedience to God involves our intent, our motives. To obey God means that we understand what we're doing, why we're doing it. To be obedient from the heart means we do what we do cheerfully, voluntarily, willingly, with the desire to please God. And we cannot be saved unless we are of the obedient disposition and spirit. Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Now, do I have the obedient spirit? Do you have an obedient spirit? How can I know whether or not I have such a spirit? I cite to you several passages of Scripture that teach us concerning what it is to have the obedient spirit. And the first I refer to is in Philippians chapter 2. Here we learn, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now notice about Christ. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now notice. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I tried as I read that to emphasize something that comes before obedience. Did you catch what it was? Even our Lord, before he was obedient unto death, it says he humbled himself. We cannot obey God unless we humble ourselves before God. As Jesus Christ was in Luke 9 and verse 23 when he said, not my will, but thine be done. Friends and brethren, obedience means the sacrifice of our own way and our own will. You please take note also when Joshua was trying to persuade the people to go ahead and to take the land and they were refusing to go up. He accused them of rebelling against God. What a difference between those people and Joshua and Caleb. Joshua's attitude, Caleb's attitude was, what is the will of God? Let the will of God be done. Not my will, but His will. That's the kind of desire that must abide in our heart if we are truly going to be obedient people. Now, as we have also brought out already, it means doing the right thing, whether anybody else does or not. Now, this is not always the easiest thing to do. We're to do the right thing, not in order to show ourselves to be more righteous. It's not simply to be different. But we're to do the right thing because it's right. Now, that's reason enough. It's right. And a person that will obey God will always do that which is right, because God never teaches us to do anything other than that which is right. And we're to do what is right, whether anybody else around us does it or not. Even if we must stand alone, if we're in the company of a few, or if we're in the company of the majority and of many, we must do what is right. Now, sometimes we will find ourselves doing what is right because everybody else round about us is doing what is right. But if your reason for doing right is no greater than that, dear people, you are the kind of person that would do wrong when everybody else around you is doing wrong. We're not to be led by what other people do, say, or think. It's the Lord's will that has to be done. Joshua and Caleb, here they were. They were the only two in all of that great company of people that came out of the land of Egypt that God allowed, that is, they were over 20 years old and older, that God allowed to go into the land of Canaan. Only two. They were having to stand by themselves. They almost lost their lives because they dared to stand for what was right against the odds of everybody else. This is what Daniel the prophet had to do. This is what Moses had to do so many times. This is what people of God have always had to have as a determining factor in their lives. Humble yourself to be obedient to God's will and do God's will if you have to be the only one around that does it. You know, sometimes people have the attitude, well, I've seen it. Sometimes people come to you, you know, they've been in a squabble with somebody, and they want you to be the referee. And so they begin to tell about the problems and this, that, the other, and finally you come to what looked like might be a solution, and it's obvious maybe that both of them need to repent, both of them need to forgive, and then one of them will come forward with this tremendous, marvelous statement. Well, I will if he will. What do you mean you will if he will? That just simply means I won't if he won't. Why, you don't decide whether you apologize, whether you repent, whether you forgive based on what the other fella does. If you owe an apology, if you should repent, if you should forgive, that's what you should do. If he continues to be the devil, you're still supposed to do what you're supposed to do. And a lot of people don't understand that. Talking with a couple one time, trying to convert them to Christ. Husband and wife. And finally he came forward with this great noble statement. Well, I'll be baptized if she will. And I said, are you trying to tell me that you're willing to go to the devil if your wife is willing to go to the devil, and if she won't be baptized, you'll just go along with her instead of Christ? He said, well, that wasn't exactly what I meant by it. He was, too. But then when he found out what he really meant by it, he began to backpedal off. You've got to do what's right, folks. It doesn't make any difference whether anybody else does or not. Whether your wife does what's right, whether your husband does what's right, whether your children do what's right, whether your neighbors, whether your brethren do what's right or not, that does not give you an excuse to go ahead and do wrong along with them. Now that's what the spirit of obedience teaches us. We ask one question. when it comes to whether or not we're going to obey God.
What would God have me to do? That's all. That's the only question. Not what is the congregation going to do, or what are the elders going to do, or what will my family do. No. That might have some influence on us. Maybe good, maybe bad. But you've got to decide. If you're going to have the obedient spirit, what does God want me to do? Now, it means also that we will do what God says, whether we happen to like it or not. We should cultivate our likes to want to be like what God wants. Or whether we fully comprehend everything God wants us, or whether it suits our personal preferences, whether it appears reasonable to us or not. You know, it just isn't an obedient spirit that says, in essence, I'll do what God says up to a point. So long as I think that this is suitable, so long as I think that it is good, why then I will do it. Well, of course, we can always be sure that every directive that God ever gives us is good, because God never commands us to do anything evil. But you know, sometimes people refuse to obey because they say, I just don't see any sense in that. I remember one time, and I've told you about this once before, I think, maybe in some other lesson, I was watching the program Waltons. I generally like the Waltons. This one made me a little angry, but I generally like it. But the father of the Waltons, he's an irreligious cuss. He doesn't care anything about serving God. And they were trying to get him to be baptized. He refused. And why? And he said, I don't see how getting down in the water is going to change my soul. Well, of course, he didn't have any understanding, but you see, we're supposed to obey God whether we understand all the reasons as to why God has said do something or not. You know, I can just picture yourself there with Joshua. He'd come across the Jordan River, and there was the walled city of Jericho. And God says, I'm going to give you that city. And then God says, now I want you to just march around that city one time a day for 6 days, and seven times on the seventh day, and blow your trumpets, and I'll give you the city. And Joshua could even say, that just doesn't make sense. I don't see how that's going to do any good. Look at Naaman. He came to the house of Elisha, and there Elisha told him to go down to the Jordan River and to dip himself seven times. And he said, I thought he'd do something different from that, he said. I don't see how that's going to help any. He almost went back home, 2 Kings chapter 5, almost went back home a leper when he could have been cleansed by simple obedience. Well, finally he was persuaded to obey. But you know, that really didn't make a whole lot of medical sense, did it? To go and dip yourself seven times in the Jordan River. People rebel against baptism for much the same reason, because it doesn't seem to suit what they want. But people that are pleasing to God walk by faith. And that faith is based upon the testimony of the Word of God. You have faith in God. You have faith in His promises. You have confidence in His Word. To obey God because it suits you is not obeying God. You are still going according to your own will. You've heard the illustration before. Father told his boys to go out here and plant grain in three fields. I want you to put in corn in one, and wheat in another, and oats in another. Other boys went out and they looked at the way he said corn. That looks pretty good. They put corn there. They went to the one where he said wheat. They put wheat there. They went to the one where he said oats, and they said, that's not going to be the best. They put barley in there. How many times did they obey the Father? Not once. Every single time they did what they thought ought to be done. That's not obedience. That's what's wrong with the denominational world. That's what's wrong with liberalism and modernism. That's what's wrong with people that quit and walk off from the church. They get the idea that I will follow God only so long as it suits me. Friends and brethren, if we have that attitude, we do not have the obedient spirit. We must do what God says,
regardless. And the obedient spirit also is a spirit that does not say, how little can I do, but how much can I do? We are in dangerous spiritual waters when we develop the attitude that all we have to do is just do the minimum that God might, we think, require of us. What would you think of a parent that will do things for his child only as they felt like they just had to? Well, I have to do this. I've got to do that. And no more. Maybe bring it down a little closer to home. What would you think about a man who kissed his wife only just enough that he felt like, I just have to? I got an idea something's missing there. That doesn't go over good at all, does it? Just what is the minimum required? There's something wrong with a person who claims to be a child of God who wants to be just as little as he thinks he can get by, and that way render service to God. The spirit of obedience doesn't say, how much do I have to do? The spirit of obedience is, how much can I do? And that's what we seem to miss sometimes when it comes to our contribution. How much do I have to give? Not how much can I give? People act that way sometimes when it comes to the worship services. Do I have to come on Wednesday night? You don't have to go to heaven. You ever think about that? Do I have to come on Wednesday night? People don't ask that question when they want to do all they can. Now, they may absolutely be prohibited and cannot attend services on Wednesday night, but they don't have the attitude, well, I'll go Sunday morning because that's all I have to do. I should have mentioned that this morning, shouldn't I, instead of tonight, because you're here. Good for you. But how about Wednesday night? There are more of you here now that will be here Wednesday night ordinarily. Do I have to go on with you? Don't ask that when you've got an obedient spirit. Here's something you get to do, not something that you have to do. The obedient spirit says, I will do all that I can, not just what I feel like I can do and get by. Another element of the obedient spirit. The person with this kind of spirit will do what God says, even when he faces opposition for doing it. And my beloved brethren, in this world you are going to meet opposition when you try to obey the Lord. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 assures us of that. It has been said by some that these 10 spies of Israel and the Israelites too, that they had a grasshopper complex. They were afraid of the obstacles. They looked at the giants. They looked at the walled cities. Now take a notice here. Joshua and Caleb, they had the obedient spirit about them. They didn't minimize the obstacles. They recognized that we have these things against us. We know there are problems ahead of us. But I read to you again what they said. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. They had the attitude, in spite of the fact that we have opposition, we know what God wants us to do, and we can do it. You see, to obey God, brethren, is not to ask the question, what will be the consequences if I do? How may this feed back on me some way, adversely? You don't ask that. What you ask is, what is correct? What does God want? Let the consequences be whatever they might be. Or I'll lose friends. Well, you may lose friends. Maybe not, maybe so. It may cost me my job. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. My family will get all upset.
Maybe they will, maybe they won't.
But that is not the problem that you are to consider. What is right? What does God want? Regardless of opposition, of people that might stand against you or discourage you or would try to persuade you otherwise, you do what God says. And if you'll take your Bible, and I'm sure you do, and you study the lives of those great noblemen of God in time past, facing opposition was one of the prominent and dominant characteristics of their lives. Look at John the Baptist. Look at Jeremiah the prophet. Look at the apostles Peter and Paul. You just look at the life of our master himself. Moses and Daniel and all down through the line. They faced opposition. They had obstacles. They didn't let that deter them. It's a tragic thing when there be children of God or people who are not children of God, and they're contemplating rendering obedience. And they recognize that in doing so, it may prove to be some difficulty come in their lives. And sometimes people back off because of that difficulty. That's not the obedient spirit. The obedient spirit, brethren, is whatever it is that God wants, that's what I'm going to do, consequences be what they might. But the spirit of obedience also has the spirit of doing what God says out of a heart that overflows with a love for God. That's the noblest reason for obeying God. We love God. We love God because He first loved us. Love is measured by whether or not we obey God. If you have a heart that is filled with love for God, you will obey God. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15, you've heard it all your life. For this is the love of God, that you keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5 and verse 3. Didn't Jesus say, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Can you think of anything more hypocritical, two-faced, mockingly, a mockery of Jesus Christ to say, "You are my Lord, but not do what He commands"? But when you have the right attitude, the right love in your heart for God, you will obey the Lord. What are the marks of the spirit of obedience? Here they are. It's the attitude of humility that says, "Not my will, but thine be done." That was characteristic of Christ. It's the attitude that says, "What is right is what I will do, not what others may or may not do." And we have to guard against the influences that would lead us astray, encourage those influences that would lead us in the right direction. But regardless of what other people do, are you of the disposition tonight, one and all, individually, that what God says, that's it? Regardless of what anybody else does, the spirit of obedience just simply asks, "What does God say?" Not, "What do I prefer? What do I like? What seems to suit my fancy?" The spirit of obedience says, "How much can I do?" Not, "How little can I do and then deceive myself into thinking I can get by?" I told you about the time I was over in Greenville, South Carolina one time holding a gospel meeting, and I was warned about this individual before I got there, or at least before I saw him. And they said, "Inevitably, he's going to come to you, he does to every preacher, and ask about Wednesday night." So I was ready for him. He came up, sure enough. "Brother Boyd, I want to talk to you." Confidential. "Do you believe we have to come on Wednesday night? Do you believe Hebrews 10:25? That's where you put it. Hebrews 10:25 teaches that you have to come on Wednesday night." "I do." But I didn't just flat tell him I do. He said, "Do you believe Hebrews 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a man of some is? Do you believe that is Wednesday night?" I just said this, "Well, even if it doesn't,
You won't be lost because of Hebrews 10:25. You're going to be lost because of your attitude to do as little as you think you can get by with. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, I never." And I don't know whether he ever did or not. But this attitude is not obedient when you just want to get by and do his little. The spirit of obedience means doing what God says in spite of opposition from whatever quarters it might come. The spirit of obedience means you show your love for God the way God says you show your love. Why, you remember the bumper sticker that said, "Honk if you love Jesus"? No, that's not the way you... Tom Holland says you don't show you love Jesus the same way you get a dog out of the road. That's not the way you show you love Jesus. How do you show you love Jesus? You obey him. What if you don't obey him? You can figure that one out without the preacher having to tell you to, can't you? If you love Jesus, you'll do what he says. That's the spirit of obedience. Joshua and Caleb had it. And what did it bring them? 40 long years of wandering with a mouthing, murmuring bunch of inconsistent, two-faced Israelite nation. But eventually, the promised land. That's what it brought them. What will the obedient spirit bring me and you? A lifetime of people who will mock and ridicule and castigate and degrade, possibly. But eventually, the heavenly home. And the choice is ours. When Jesus says, "Believe on me," the obedient spirit will believe. When he says, "Repent, confess, and be baptized," there won't be any hesitancy. If we have the obedient spirit. When he says, "Be thou faithful unto death," that settles it. That's my goal. That's what I'll strive to do every day of my life. Why? I love God. I humble my will before his. I have the kind of spirit that people that God has always approved had. Brethren, I suggest to each of us, this is that which we must develop and must have, so heaven will be our home. If you tonight are of the obedient spirit and have not rendered obedience to come into Christ, or you are not walking faithfully in an obedient way, tonight, as we sing this song, is your opportunity to come and to let the Lord and these good people here know, I want to obey Christ because Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him. Will you come?